Hello, and welcome back to the Soulfully Stronger podcast. I'm your host, Ari, and today on episode 3, we're going to be talking about feeling comfortable in our skin, what we can do to welcome in that feeling. And in order to kind of talk about this topic, I'll start with kind of painting a story of one of my own experiences with this and how it relates to my understanding of feeling comfort in my skin and kind of how I've grown through that and how I'm continuing to grow through that process. But before we dive into that, there has been a pretty notable, like, long period of time that I've gone without posting content and making and uploading podcasts. A big factor of it had to do with the fact that I was, like, ending the school semester and I was starting a new job at the time and, like, you know, things were busy, but the big real, like, reason why was after I posted my second episode of the podcast, I, like, got really anxious about, like, just how it was gonna be perceived and, like, I was so worried about, like, potentially, like, offending isn't the right word, but, like, I don't know, like, upsetting someone because of, you know, maybe my views of certain spiritual practices that I tried at one point that just didn't work out for me. I think I did a good job of really hammering home the point that just because, like, a spiritual practice didn't work for me doesn't mean it's wrong, doesn't mean that maybe even at some point in my life it will work for me and it's just whatever. But I was really, like, worried about that because I never want to, like, I didn't want it to come across as me saying, like, here is what's right and what's wrong. And I tried these things and you shouldn't try these things because I'm telling you that the conclusion I have come to is the right one. I by no means am saying that. It was more so just to share my story and kind of my views on things in regard to, like, spiritual matters, because that is, like, a part of this podcast. So it inevitably will influence the way I, like, look at things and experience things. And so I thought it would be helpful to have that. And then also, it is a fluid thing because, you know, like I said, I'm very open to things. I'm very interested in things and I don't necessarily feel like I've, like, arrived to a certain, like, this is, you know, my view on everything and it's not going to change, because that most certainly isn't the case. And I hope it isn't the case. You know, I hope I continue to grow and remain open to the possibilities of things. But all that is to say, I just felt really anxious after kind of putting that vulnerability out there and how it was going to be perceived and everything like that. And I just kind of freaked out and I unlisted the video, or the recording rather. And I probably, will be uploading it. Hopefully it'll be up before this one comes out. It kind of just depends on, like, if I remember to do that in time, but eventually it will come up because I don't want to not put it up. Even, like I said, there may be even things that my perspective have changed on since the recording of that podcast. But all that to say is that I am back. I am hoping to be regularly recording once every 2 weeks. That is the goal. I am finishing up my last semester of college and I'm also working. And so that can obviously create some barriers to, like, a super consistent schedule, but I'm going to do my very best. But yeah, so, all right. So let's just dive right on into it. So a little backstory to kind of set up where I came to this point and how I've kind of worked through this whole situation. So about mid to early-ish July, one of my coworkers had gotten, like, a tattoo at, like, 1-2 a.m. In Chicago one night, just randomly. It was like a walk-in type situation, and she was like showing us at work, and we were like, oh, that'd be so fun, like if a group of us went and like whatever, and like did this whole thing. And I was like, oh, I don't, yeah, like that would be so fun, like, you know, fun memory, blah blah blah. So then we started talking about it throughout the shift, and it started becoming like that this was gonna like be a serious plan. And part of me was like, I don't think I'll actually do it. Like, I don't know. Like, it's late. Like, do I want to do that? I don't know. And eventually it got to the point where it became really serious. And by the end of my shift, I was pretty sure that these plans were going to happen. And there was still a part of me that was like, I don't know. Like, I usually don't do like really impulsive things like ever. And that's probably pretty, that's, even though I like sat and thought on it for like, you know, a whole 8-hour shift, like it was still pretty impulsive in my like mind. And so then, eventually we just did it. And it was the weirdest feeling like the day after, because like, after we had gotten it done, I just, you know, just excited, the adrenaline, like when you get a tattoo, like the adrenaline in your body kind of kicks up a lot, which kind of helps with like, you know, the pain that would normally be there if you didn't have like the adrenaline kicking in. But so because of that, like my adrenaline was high when we were leaving, and like, you're just feeling good. And I drove, so I had to drive home and like, you know, making sure I was safe and all that, like on big highway roads. So just not really thinking about the fact that I got the tattoo itself or anything like that, just kind of enjoying the moment and really fun and whatever. So the next day, I got to sleep in a bit because I didn't work that day, which was super nice. And when I did eventually get up and I wanted to go do some runnings because had a day off, so why not, right? And I'm driving in my car and I'm looking down at my arms as I'm driving, and I see what is now like at this point a bigger, more visible tattoo than I have ever had is now on my forearm. And it's very like, it's like always jarring, like when you get a new tattoo and it's like, oh, there's this thing there that wasn't there before, and it like catches your eye always. And this one was undeniable because I could almost see it fully with my, when my arms are like out in front of me. And I had this weird moment of like ownership of my body. Like I had this feeling of like, oh, this is my body. Like, and that's going to sound, it's so simple, but it's like, this is my body. And it's like, I have a long history of like hatred and not super like good relationship with my body and things of that nature. But it was like, no, but this body is mine. Like, no matter how I feel about it, whether, you know, I want to change it or I want it to be like other things, it's like, it's going to be my body because it's my body. Like, it's mine. And like, just the act of being able to like claim it in that way was just so empowering. And it was just so like, it was such a grounding moment. It was like, it was so insane. And like, it's like the smallest thing, but like the gravity that those words kind of like had on me of like, this body is mine. And like, I can show up in this world the way that I desire to, or that is congruent with me. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful feeling. And so this was like, this came at a point where I was already on like a progress the entirety of this summer of really trying to get to know myself and like just going through life, like I feel like just this age, it just feels like every day is like a new thing, and you're constantly trying to figure out like who you are and what you believe in and what you like, just everything. It feels so like fluid, and sitting with that is so hard for me to do. And so one thing I've been trying to do this summer is really like get to know myself to the best of my ability, with the grace that like I'm gonna change at any moment, right? Like, I'm going to continue to change and develop and mature and whatever. But really getting more comfortable with myself. And so this experience was such like a turning point in that journey of like a wow, like this is so cool. Like, I can do this thing and like whatever. And from then on, like, I really just got excited about getting used to, like, grounding myself in that feeling. Because, you know, while that feeling was overwhelming and it was great and I felt good, it's fleeting, right? Like most good things are, right? You feel so overwhelmed and excited in that moment and like things are good. But then, you know, a day later, you're struggling with, you know, body image concerns or whatever it may be. And then it feels like that moment is so far away. And so one thing I've been trying to do is like trying to do things that invoke that feeling, or even just reminding myself that that feeling is real and it exists and it's powerful and it feels good. So that's what kickstarted this whole thing and this whole big like brain moment of like, oh my God. So to transition then into the meat of this podcast here is feeling comfortable in our skin. What does that mean? What does that look like? Why does it matter? So just from a more spiritual perspective to start, right? Most religions or philosophical beliefs and stuff often have different ideas about the body, right? Like in some perspectives, the body is nothing but, you know, organic matter that the spirit is in charge of. In others, it's interconnected as one whole unit. There's so many beliefs, right? And it shapes the way we are to take care of these bodies, right? Some religious perspectives will say that they're a temple that to be taken care of. Others will say things similarly, that just kind of this respect towards the body or indifference towards the body. It definitely varies. And for myself, given that I've always had such a like damaged relationship with my body, I would say, it's always been a hard one for me, because like in any like spiritual modality where they begin to talk about things in regard to the body and like honoring it in any type of way, it was just like, it just was beyond me. Like it just didn't resonate with me. It was like, why would I care about this body? Like, ugh, like the only thing I want to do is run away from it, if at all possible. And so the reality is, no matter what you believe in, either spiritually or whatever, is that you are stuck in your body at least for now, right? Like this is the body you have for this moment in time. And so there has to be a point where we say, like, we have to be okay with it, because we really don't have a choice. Like, as far as I'm aware of, I can't transport like me, my like personality, my being, my soul, whatever you want to call it, into another body. I don't think that exists yet. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't exist. And so the real issue or the real like problem then becomes like, how do I like accept that? Just make peace with that, right? And so this is where sometimes I think issues online in regards to like body positivity or body neutrality kind of come into play. Because during like the healing process of my eating disorder was kind of like at the start of the rise of the body positivity movement, and it did not resonate with me whatsoever. And I do think that it is great for anybody that it helps. I think it's definitely a good thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But just as a personal anecdote, it didn't resonate with me because it felt forced and coerced and fake, because I simply, no matter how hard I tried, could not get to a point where I was like celebrating my body or really excited about it. And sometimes that would lead me to feel like I was like doing something wrong. Like I just can't invoke this thing. And it's like, now I'm failing at this. Like I can't even, you know, pretend, or then I would try to pretend, and that's not real. That's not honoring my actual emotions or feelings about it. It's just like trying to mask the fact that I'm still, despite, you know, therapy and support from family members and friends, I'm still really struggling with this thing. And so then the concept of body neutrality kind of comes in, where body neutrality is more so just the idea that you have this neutral stance with the body, right? You don't have to be super like excited about your body necessarily, but you also don't have to be super like fighting against and like in opposition to the body. It's just being neutral with it. It's just like, it's almost like, okay, the sky is blue. It's like, all right, well, this is my body. Okay. It's just an objective fact. It's neutral. There doesn't need to be this like big positive spin on it or horrible negative spin on it. It just is. And so it just is your body. Like, it just is. And as far as we know today, we can't change that. So what we have to do is figure out then how do we sit with this? And so I think a big thing is then the next step forward after just recognizing that, like, this is your body, this is how it is showing up in the world today, right now. We can't guarantee a tomorrow. We can't go back to yesterday. It's just what's right now in this very present moment. But the issue is then is, okay, if you recognize that, that's step one. But then how do we feel least comfortable in that? Again, it doesn't mean that you're overjoyed or you're like running around like super excited about your body. But you got to feel comfortable, because even when I accepted that, you know, whether I like it or not, this is my body. This is what I look like. This is how I feel in my body. I had a hard time feeling comfortable in my body. And I know many, many people that do, where it feels painful, where you can look at scars on your body and be reminded of maybe really hard experiences and pain. Just the feeling of so being so distant from your body, so separate, that it almost feels foreign. Like there are many times where I've even looked in the mirror and I felt like I was staring at a stranger. And it's so weird and so like disorienting to feel so, so separate, from your body. So feeling comfortable is important. It's important to feel comfortable in your body. When we feel uncomfortable in our body, it has a big effect on how we show up in the world. I know for myself, when I'm experiencing times of being super like worried and focused about my body and uncomfortable, and maybe I'm wearing something and I'm just constantly thinking about it, I'm not fully present. I'm not giving of myself fully to others that I'm with. I'm not connecting with them. And in fact, I may turn down going out or seeing people because of my body. And that is just, it's just not a way to live. Like, there's, you know, there's memories that and things that I could have made that I didn't. And I don't ever get that time back. There are loved ones that I didn't get to spend like genuine present time with because I was so consumed by this experience of dissonance between my soul and my body that just felt like too all consuming. It was awful. So getting to a place where we're comfortable in our skin, we maybe even feel some body neutrality, some neutralness, even maybe even some positivity, if that works for you, then that's even better. But feeling at least comfortable and at home in our bodies is so important, because it is our home. It's all we have, you know, like at the end of the day, no matter like what happens around me is I have my body, right? Like this is, it's like sinking into yourself. And so I, through my process of, you know, having this experience and kind of really trying to be more intentional afterwards about kind of ways to really embody and invite this feeling in, I have found some activities that have been beneficial to me that I hope might be beneficial to you. I've also thought of some other activities that might work for individuals where maybe the activities I do aren't beneficial for them. So I tried to come up with a good array of some things you can try out. So the first one that I would recommend is starting with just gratitude. And I feel like this one is a bit tired. Like, I feel like whenever I watch something where somebody gives advice and they start with, like, start a gratitude journal, it's like, all right, snooze fest. I'm already clicking out. Like, I don't care what you have to say. So I definitely get if me saying that kind of invokes that feeling, because I feel the same way sometimes. However, I will say that it is incredibly helpful, and it is something that's such a great grounding practice. I do love it because, okay, you can just, you know, you can do the journal method, you can just say it in your head, whatever, but it really truly can be a very humbling experience and a very grounding experience to, you know, routinely express gratitude. So for this activity in particular, I would suggest that either you write it down in a notebook that you really like, so going to a store and picking out a really cute one, or decorating one yourself or whatever. Or you can also do this practice just in your head in the morning or at night. Like, you can kind of work it into your routine. So it's something like, oh, every time I get up and I brush my teeth, I think of these gratitude statements. Or every night when I'm getting ready to go to bed, I write down these gratitude statements. Whatever makes the most sense with your schedule, with the way you do things, you tailor that to yourself. But in this way, I want you to say three things you're grateful for about your body specifically. And it doesn't have to be like a physical appearance game, because this isn't necessarily a matter of just like being comfortable in your skin, like because you feel like comfortable in your physical appearance as like a beauty standard way. I just mean comfortable in your skin in general. So it could be, for example, you could say, I'm grateful for the fact that I have legs, and that they have a decent amount of muscle on them, and it allows me to walk around in the park with my dog, and I love doing that experience. And if I didn't have this part of my body, I would simply not be able, I would not be able to do that. I would miss out on that experience. Or maybe you are a great singer, and you wouldn't be able to, you know, sing like you do, or be involved in groups that where you sing and have those experiences and meet all those friends you've met through choir or whatever, if it weren't for the fact that your body allowed you to have this beautiful voice. It could also be, I'm grateful for, you know, I can do it for me, right? I'm grateful that I have this curly hair. It reminds me of my mother. And I think that's a beautiful thing that I have this like lineage thing, right? Of being connected to my family members, and they mean a lot to me. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be anything big or small. And honestly, like, you might start small. Like, the first time I did a practice like this, I had a very hard time getting to the point where I was actually talking about my body. And I honestly started with things like, I liked my sense of humor and that I enjoyed being able to make people laugh, or different things like that that were still related to my body, right? I couldn't do that without also being able to speak and talk and all the other things. But in those moments, it's very grounding, because then you realize the ways in which your body exists on this earth allows you to experience earth and life. And so it's a very important thing, and it can be a humbling thing too, because it allows you to recognize, you know, that amidst all the discomfort you may feel, or the pressures you may feel from, you know, society or things like that for what your body is supposed to be, it is what it is for a reason, and you are being able to experience things, you know, because you have this body. So that would be, that's my first activity I would recommend, is just gratitude. So whether you want to vocalize it, whether you want to write it down, whether you want to sing it, I don't care. But I think that everybody should do that, honestly. But again, I have some other activities in case that one doesn't really work out well for you. Honestly, I did a few of these things, so you do how you do. The next one I would say is a mirror activity. And this one was particularly hard for me and still is hard for me because I have a easier time accepting my body or being comfortable in my skin when I'm not looking at my body or not looking at my skin. But unfortunately, sometimes we have to face that because what I found for myself is that I would feel comfortable in my body and my skin and I'm feeling good and I'm going throughout the day and I walk past the mirror and boom, it's like shattered, like confidence shattered, like any form of comfortability in my skin shattered. My brain's like, all the angry things are being shouted in my brain of like, why did you even pretend for a moment that you were going to be comfortable with yourself? Like, this is bad, you're bad, blah, blah, blah. So it is, unfortunately, I think, very important to slowly, even if it's very slowly, it's still slow for me. I still can't do this regularly whatsoever. But getting comfortable with yourself in front of a mirror. It can be before you go to bed. Maybe you just taken your makeup off, or maybe you just got home from the gym or whatever. Any type of silent, private time you have alone in front of a mirror. And instead of looking at your body with this sense of like disdain and how it's not measuring up to these standards that are set because of the time and place in which we live in this society, because we all know those standards change throughout history and even in short periods of time and generations of time, they've changed. So we know they're subject to change. Without all of that, all of those things, just looking at yourself and seeing yourself for what you are, right? Noticing even, for me, something that's like as simple as like noticing scars or my tattoos or different parts of my body that make me uniquely me, that are byproducts of maybe experiences I've had in life or just simply the way I was born. And just getting comfortable with seeing yourself and practicing of just non-judgment, just non-attachment and non-judgment to the reflection that is being reflected back at you. Just being comfortable with it, just neutral, just seeing it as it is and letting it go. And again, this isn't easy and it takes a while to sometimes, at least for me, quiet those thoughts of, you know, negative body image issues and things that always surface. But it's so, so important. It's so important. The next idea for an activity you can do to kind of welcome in some comfort into your own skin is figuring out a hobby that brings you a lot of joy. And this kind of ties in with the whole gratitude thing. But once you find something that really brings you joy and gets you excited about life and you're doing things and you're maybe even connecting with others who also share in this particular hobby, you begin to see that like, okay, like if I didn't have my body, I wouldn't be able to do this really cool activity that I enjoy. And like, I connect with others because I get to do this activity and wow, like I'm really grateful for that. And that can literally be anything. So that's another fun way to kind of invite that in. And then lastly, the last kind of big one would just be like finding an avenue of self-expression that is meaningful to you. So for some people, maybe they're really into clothing and finding fun, funky outfits is what helps them feel themselves and feel comfortable in their skin. And they get to, you know, style themselves up however they want and feel alive from that. Or maybe it's dyeing your hair a fun color you've never tried but have always wanted to, or getting that tattoo you've had saved for forever that you just put off for no reason whatsoever. Just doing little things like that to kind of own yourself, own your skin, whatever you choose to do, you know, that makes you happy and feel at home in yourself. And you know, because the thing is like everybody around you benefits from you being comfortable in your skin. But even more so than that, you benefit from that, right? So it's like a symbiotic thing, because not only is it important for you to feel comfortable in your skin, because you have to live with you for your entire life. You do. But then you are more able to be present with others. You're able to be more expressive and calm around others and more aware of other people and their needs, because you're not so consumed by being stressed and sad and at war with your own body. And it radiates. Whenever you're around really confident people, you can always feel it. Like, whenever I meet people that are super bold and very much so, you can tell that they're in tune with themselves. They know what they like. They are comfortable in their skin. They're confident even. It's so much easier being around those individuals, and it's inspiring. It's like, oh, I want what they have. Like, they're happy. They're figuring these things out. And like, it is so important, because like they say, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. So it's just as important to pour into yourself, because the more you are grounded and are filled, you can fill others, right? Like, it doesn't have to be, it's not weird, it's not wrong. I have to share this only because I feel like I've been seeing a lot of like posts that have been on my like For You page or like different things like that. Like, somehow they get into my mix. It's I haven't ever seen this from anybody I like physically know, but there has been a sentiment that like self-care or self-love like type practices are wrong because they're self-absorbed and they're taking away from others and whatever. And quite honestly, to that effect, I think that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard, because it's not like you, like, it's not like you can only have one, right? It's not like, oh, you can either practice self-care or you can be of service to others. They're not interchangeable, when they absolutely are. And in fact, they go hand in hand. It's no different than individuals who work in service fields, such as social work or nursing or even teachers, like people that work like in jobs where they're heavily in service to others. They often experience what's called burnout. And that's where basically, like, in those fields in particular, you have this experience of where you give so much to others and you're not taking enough time to take care of yourself. Therefore, you can't keep going, because it's just not possible. And that's not being selfish. That's not being unwilling to give of others. It's just crucial. Everybody needs a self-care practice or self-love practice, and that only allows them to be better, to be better when they give service to others, right? So, for example, if I am really at home having a dedicated, you know, self-care practice, you know, it isn't crazy, isn't anything big. You know, for me, some of my self-care practices, quote unquote, are getting a workout in, or doing some yoga, or some even just some journaling and writing. Those are things where I take, you know, 30 minutes to maybe an hour at the most for myself, you know, really early in the morning or even late at night, where I focus on myself and I give myself a moment to breathe with myself. Because then throughout the rest of the day, I might be taking care of others. I might be at work. I work at a job where I take care of others. So that takes a lot, right? I'm in school, so I'm learning a lot and helping a lot. And then I have, you know, relationships I have to maintain. And so you're constantly like doing and giving, and that brings me joy. But I know that I can only be a good, you know, a good worker, a good partner, a good student, a good sister, a good child, if I also take that time to refill my cup and make myself feel centered and whole and and good. Because if not, if I'm constantly going and doing everything for everyone, I'm going to wind up feeling lost and exhausted. And I have absolutely experienced that. Absolutely. And I'm sure most people have. It's a hard balance to navigate. So I just want to throw it out there that there is absolutely nothing wrong with cultivating self-love or self-care practices. It's not selfish. It is, in fact, selfless, because in effect, the more you're able to take care of yourself and be balanced, the more present you can be with others and actually truly be with them and not also be in your head, because you don't even get a second to be alone with your thoughts or a moment to just, you know, what, how do I feel about this? You know, who am I? What do I want for my life? Or what do I care about? What are my priorities in life? So just to get that out of the water. And with all that being said, yeah, like, let's freaking feel comfortable in our skin, because guess what? It's the only skin we got. And if we don't feel comfortable in it, well, then that's going to make life really hard, really hard. So again, I would like to invite you to maybe adapt some of these practices this week, or even come up with your own. You might find that there are ways that you discover that evoke this feeling or start to help you feel that way. And maybe that's your thing, you know, maybe discovering certain practices you can do for yourself regularly that help you just feel comfortable and unwind with yourself. That's great. Yeah. So I just want to thank you all for listening again, and checking this whole thing I got going out for me. If there are any topics you would like to hear or want me to address on either just like Instagram or through my podcast, you can always DM me or leave a comment on my post at It's Soulfully Stronger Podcast. Yeah, so thank you again so much for listening. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Remember to just take some time for yourself this week. Remember to take some deep, big belly breaths and really just ground yourself. I hope these practices help you a lot. I really do. And with all that being said, let's get on to the music recommendation for this week, fellas. So the song for this week is Female Energy Part 2 by Willow. It's just so good. It's a bit older again, but listen, time does not matter, my friend, because it's good. It makes me want to dance around my apartment, and it's a song where I feel
good in my skin, and we're trying to feel good in our skin today.
So, yeah, so now that you got to hear my horrible singing, I can't believe I just did that. It's fine, but that's how she makes me feel. It's like, I don't even care. I just want to dance. Really, truly, though, the song is so good. It's so ethereal and calming, but also makes you want to dance. So, yeah, so I had to include it. Absolutely had to include it. Thank you again for listening and supporting the podcast. I can't stress that enough. I hope you guys enjoy these next 2 weeks, and I hope fall starts to actually come and we get to experience the changing of the seasons together. So, yeah, namaste.